Hagman and Hagman.com. That's right. You're tuned in to the Hagman and Hagman Report. I like that music. Joe Stahl and Eric on the guitars, dueling guitars. That's right. Our own Eric the Tech along with Joe Stahl. Musical geniuses, aren't they? Pounding it out. That's right. We do have the most intelligent audience in the world. I do believe this. Pamela, thank you so much. Pointing out SB277. What is that, you might ask? Well, if you're tuned into our program, you don't have to ask because here's the deal. The California Coalition for Vaccine Choice, showcasing SB277. This is a law that Moonbeam Governor... See, when I say Moonbeam, how many out there remember Governor Moonbeam Brown? You remember back in the day when Governor Jerry Brown was the governor the first time of California, right? Remember that? You got to be in the Vietnam era kind of thing, right around that time when Johnny Carson was the late night show, when there were three channels, and of course Governor Moonbeam Brown was in office in California. Yes, right from the Haight-Ashbury district, or even Laurel Canyon, perhaps. Laurel Canyon is the most more accurate location, of course. But and folks, you know the significance of that. But SB 277 signed into law. It's effective this past July. Here's the deal. Governor Jerry Moonbeam Brown signed SB 277, the most stringent vaccine mandate in the United States, on June 30th of 2015. The new law will go into effect July 1, 2016. It has. Families that don't comply with one-size-fits-all vaccine mandate, they're going to lose their state constitutional right for a free and appropriate education in public and private kindergarten through 12th grade schools. Now, why in the world would anyone with any degree of sensibilities fall for this? Why are you living in California? Now, I realize some people can't move, but if you've got some people don't have the money to move, or you got family there, because I'm in that position. People say, well, why don't you get the heck out of the country? Why don't you go down and go to another country, or why don't you go to a safer part of the country? I can't. You think I can afford to do that? No. Plus, we have family here. We have responsibilities here. So, if you're in California, you got two choices. You can stay and fight, or you can flee. And if you can't flee out of California because of their restrictive, tyrannical, mandate vaccine crap on your children, then what do? You stay and fight. And you become a lawbreaker, don't you? By virtue of this, you become a lawbreaker. I would urge everyone to get on the horn. Maybe it's too late. Maybe it's not, but look into SB 277, California, SB 277. Go ahead and go to SB277.org. It's SB277.org. Thank you, Pamela, for that. We should not, we should not be subjugated to vaccines. I was at the dentist office this morning. Yes, I was. I bit him too. Yeah. No, but seriously, and I asked him, I said, Doc, because I've come to know this guy pretty close. And I said, hey, Doc, let me ask you a question. Give me the truth on this. What do you think of fluoride? He said, oh, it's good. I said, okay. So you recommend fluoride tablets to, like, children, right? Oh, I have, yeah. I said, well, so you're not concerned that fluoride is a toxin? Well, you know, it's a toxin if you take too much of it, but if you take, you know, you get the rundown, right? You've been there. I said, hey, so you don't believe that fluoride dumbs you down, or that fluoride, you think fluoride is the answer, and you don't subscribe to any of the conspiracy things that you see on the internet, my choice of words for a purpose? And he said, no, I don't. I said, okay, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we take you or your children, because he's got two adult kids, and one younger child, I should say, too. Why don't we take your kids and let's pump them full of fluoride and let's see how compliant they could be. The same kind of fluoride that was used in the Nazi death camps. He said, now you're being ridiculous. So we had to go today. But I'm working on him. I'm working on him, and I think I made some headway. I did give him some facts about fluoride. But anyway, back to this SB 277, folks. Look, we have to fight this. We do have to fight this, and we have to be educated, but we have to fight it on the facts, not on the emotion. That's all. I just want to say thank you, Pamela, for that email.
Absolutely right. Folks, if you want to call in, the number is 844-769-2944. You might want to write this down. Yeah, 844-769-2944.
Blow it out your pocket.
We're going to go to Dwayne in Texas, followed by Ryan in Texas. Dwayne, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi. Yeah, I called in yesterday about the 62 and the 30, 32 and the 64 being August 10th and September 11th, and September 11th being 85 people dying, including Hillary.
Yes. I think you got to explain this a little bit more. Okay.
You called me on a stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I made a video about it. You guys know Double Under Hurry, that thing. You guys know me. But anyway, it's the top video over there. I already gave you my website.
Right. But, okay. But go ahead and spend a minute explaining this, what you're telling us, because this kind of, I told Joe after the episode with Stan, I said, what was that about? But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, basically on June 7th, try to find the video, it's not very hard, of Hillary Clinton on June 7th speech, and what you'll find is that, she goes on and on about the glass ceiling.
Oh,
we got to break. I don't know if you saw that speech or not.
Yes.
You may not remember a specific part. Then she says, well, you may not know it, but right now there's a glass ceiling over us all right now. But don't worry, we're not smashing this one. Well, the only glass ceiling for her to break is the president of the United States, the proverbial glass ceiling of the office of president for a woman. That's the only one left to break for her. And she just said right there that she's not going to break it. Okay, so I predicted, since there was 96 days between then and September 11th, and because I already had a bomb code from the 2015 halftime show that ended on September 11th with 85 people dying, a separate code, I knew something was up.
Are you talking about Bible codes, or are you talking about, what are you talking about?
A code in the 2015 halftime show. And you can see my video, right. The first video on the fourth page that will explain all that. But I predicted on August 10th that there would be something related to assassination of Hillary coming out. And I was afraid they were going to actually assassinate her running mate. That's what I was afraid of. But that didn't happen. I didn't actually say that in my video. I just said, you know, he has a speech in Dallas on August 10th. Well, he used that speech to bring out the narrative of the assassination narrative that never before was talked on ever before 12:01 a.m. August 10th. It never was talked about on CNN, Fox News, CBS, NBC, ABC, and MSNBC. I did a check. It's really easy to check. You just set Google to search for one day, August 9th, and none of the results are the big major TV things.
Right.
So the narrative didn't come out until the 10th, exactly as I predicted. And 32 days later, see, 96 is not a cult, but 64 and 32 are. Highly occult. It's 2 to the 5th power and 3 to the 5th power and a whole bunch of billion other things. And 243 is 3 to the 5th power. That's another thing, but never mind that. So anyway, 42, 84... in my 2015 halftime show, 84 in my 2015 halftime show is how I decode the Matrix board in the back of the Matrix and at the end of the last Matrix movie. So 84 is important because it's 42 plus 42. It was the key to decoding the Matrix board in the back of the Matrix movie, and I put that in my 2015 halftime show video.
And, okay, so where are we going with this, though? I mean, I don't want to seem like I'm impatient, but where are we going to end up with this based on your calculations?
85 people will die, including Hillary's. And so 84 something and something, 84 maybe males, 84 females. I mean, they're just going to, I mean, on, okay, the code, the last part of this code that was fulfilled was June 12th. And so that's why I know it's real. And then the next code after September 11th, that's part of this code, which is the same type of event as June 12th, will be October 30th. But there's a much bigger event 2 days earlier on October 28th. But anyway, if you have to, I know it's my minute's up or whatever, but if you want me to go into Katy Perry singing at the DNC, I'll go into that. Otherwise,
That's fine. But what you're saying is September 11th, there's going to be 85 deaths, including the Hillary Rodham Clinton.
That's right.
All right. So I'll tell you what. On what day is September 11th? What day of the week? Is because we're less than a month away from that, so you're looking
it
at
it is
the,
a Sunday.
So the Monday, the September 12th. You know what? I'm going to have you call in or Tuesday, September 13th, and we're going to see how right you were. Because what if you're wrong?
Right. Well, I hope I'm wrong.
Okay,
the worst. If you can think of all the scenarios that they could pull at this juncture, can you think of a worse scenario for us? To blame
for us?
This on, for you and me and Alex and all the truthers and the Christians, okay? This is the worst possible scenario. Think about it. It's the worst possible thing they could do right now at this exact point.
I can think of a lot more worse things, but it's pretty bad. But you know, but I can think of far more worse things.
Blame it on an Alex supporter, an Alex.
Well,
they're going to blame it on Alex. Yeah, because they already came out. Alex already had a whistleblower say that.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And
because then the whole, see, the reason why it's the worst is because the whole nation will now hate us and they won't listen to anything we say now. That's why it's the worst.
Well, they're going to have your ear if something happens on September 11th that involves Hillary and 84 other people, that's for sure.
Thanks for the call, Blaine. We got to move on. We have it noted here and, we will see what happens.
Yeah, Secret Service will be showing up at his door on the 12th.
844-769-2944.
That's not to say. No, I'm just saying that how things work. People can read code. But I do believe in communication covert communication. I do believe that takes place. Go ahead, Joe.
First time caller, Ryan in Texas. We're coming to you now. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Yeah, do I need to be on a speakerphone or do I need to be on the cell phone?
You sound good.
Yeah, you're fine.
It just seems like y'all keep saying Hillary is a witch. I mean, that's a demon. A witch is a demon. And Obama, in the third term, he's going to be a king. So either way, that's against our Constitution. Would you guys agree with that?
Agreed.
Yeah. Well.
But see, Obama in the third term could be Hillary. Hillary's first term would be Obama's third term, in my view. That's what we'd get. Okay, so when I say Obama's third term, and I do suspect others saying the third term of Obama, meaning, well, I don't presume to know what they mean, but at least from my point of view, Obama's third term would be Hillary's first, or in Obama, you know, hey, bad things happen, gotta stick around or whatever. But I don't see that happening as much as I see a Clinton thing.
She wants to take away our Second Amendment, and we have 100 million people in the United States with millions of guns. So, how can she win an election? I guess my point is that if Hillary Clinton wins the elections, then we know that it is rigged. Is there any way to say that that's not true?
No. If you look at the polling data right now, the polls are skewed, and you've got such a disparity between the different polls that I
yeah, if you look at the polls versus the attendance of the rallies,
right,
and a couple of other things, and you know, there are some polls that show it the other way around, that show Trump, you know, with a lead in the well into the double digits, 20-30%. Ted Breuer hit on a few of them on our show and on his own show, and there's other ones that come out here and there. But the mainstream polls are consistently keeping Hillary with a double-digit lead, even though she can't gain over, you know, 1,000 people at any of her rallies.
So, okay, so Demon, third term, go on.
The Christians in America, I mean, do y'all think that, because I'm a Christian, and if she becomes president, I'm really not going to serve under a demon. So, I mean, do y'all believe that it could turn into a civil war?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think any more oppression by the oligarchy, I think that they would gladly welcome a civil war, and I think that that's what they've been pining for since 2008. We spoke about it prior to the re-election of Barack Hussein Obama II, Barry Satoru, in 2012, and yeah, they are going for that revolution slash civil war because they're goading us into it. I mean, that's exactly right. Caller, thank you.
I mean, I know that's not the answer, because that's what they want us to do. They want to divide, and when they divide, they conquer.
Yeah.
But as a Christian, you know, you see what's going on in Europe, and you see a girl being raped or a guy being beheaded or being stabbed. As a Christian, I believe that I should stand up. If I see two guys raping a girl, I'm going to go over there and take those two, even if they're Islam, if they're not Islam, I'm going to take them out, because I know what they're doing is wrong. I believe that's right. Do you guys believe that?
Yeah, if you see somebody in physical danger or life-threatening situation, it's biblical obligation.
That's right. As a Christian, you better step in. You're right. Caller, you're right.
I mean, yeah, I'm having a hard time, because I just don't see a fix to America, because it's so divided. But I think Donald Trump is our best answer, because anything else is going to be a problem.
And yeah, we know what we're going to get with Hillary. Yeah. At least we have some chance with Trump to make things better, but again, we can't rely on a presidential election to fix our problems as a nation.
Yeah.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Finish your thought.
The only other thing I have to say is, you know, when callers call in like myself, you get kind of nervous because you have so many things you want to say, and right, you don't know how to present it.
You did a good job, man. You did a fine job, and I think you got your point across. Which, you know, you're exactly right. A demon, third term.
She's a demon. I mean, what are you supposed to say? A witch?
Well, she's a witch. I mean, she is a witch. And people laugh at that. People laugh at that. But look at the
email. We're taking our own words.
You know,
and that's where we're not make. It's not us coming to a conclusion. We're using her own words.
I'm going to cut you loose, because I do want to address something that kind of
thanks, Ryan,
fits in with this, with what you said too, as a demon in Obama's third term. This from I'm not going to give the name here, but thank you for this email. Some people are saying that Barry won't leave office due to martial law. Everyone assumes that martial law will be declared due to riots and so on. But here's somebody on Facebook with a different scenario that could very well keep Obama in office for an extended period. Here's what they're saying. Now, toss this out to the audience here, only because we want you to be thinking outside the box. Very quickly, I'm going to run this scenario down. So, Hillary Clinton wins the election in November. Then, sometime between November and the inauguration, or when she's inaugurated in January, she gets indicted. Well, yeah, that would be interesting. We know, folks, we know that there's three separate U.S. attorney investigation that's taking place right now, the Clinton Foundation, and the IRS is investigating the Clinton Foundation as well. The email thing's not over yet. So once under indictment, she won't be able to assume the office of the president. Tim Kaine, who will not be actually the vice president because neither he nor Hillary have been inaugurated, cannot assume the presidency. The Speaker of the House can't move up because there is already a sitting president and vice president. So Obama, in an executive order citing an emergency situation, gives himself another 4 years in office. Hey, is the only way possible. Obama has been planning this for a while now, knowing there's enough on Hillary to indict her, and the attorney general had the attorney general indicted her based on the evidence from the FBI. This plan wouldn't work because the DNC would have quickly come up with another candidate. So they're what they're doing is they're waiting until she's elected, and there's that scenario. So think outside the box, all right? If you think about it, it's not that outrageous. The email goes on. Many people on the left, including Obama, want Obama to stay in for another 4 years. Yeah, who wouldn't? 300 plus rounds of golf and all those rides on Air Force One. Yippee. So anyway, and of course, if Trump wins the election, none of this is going to happen. But what if I'm correct, writes this person on Facebook, four more years of Obama and a mostly useless House and Senate. You know what, folks? Look, we're in uncharted waters here. You can laugh if you want at these different scenarios. And, you know, just take it for what it's worth. And one more thing before we go on. Hang on. Okay. It was here that I saw this about the Constitution. Did you open it? Did you do something with it?
No.
Okay, here it is right here. The question raised about the king staying in power if the demon doesn't make it to the election. Apparently it was from a Lisa Haven interview with Larry Nichols. And Larry, of course, has been a guest on our show before. Anyway, and the gist of it was Satoru staying in office at her expense. However, okay, I'm not. Anyway, Matt from New Hampshire, thank you very much. But yes, so apparently Lisa Haven broached that question with Nichols, and Nichols said, "Well, what would happen if?" If she doesn't make it to the election, I guess is the gist of it. So, all right, go on.
And that kind of reiterates what was said in the earlier hours phone call about the potential for a constitutional crisis if a nominee is taken out before the election.
We can talk about this all day long. Mm-hmm. I mean, but we all know in our hearts, don't we? In our spirits, that there's something wrong here with this election. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. The yak is called for again.
Let's wait to take the phone calls until we get to the next segment.
Yeah, your calls at 844-769-2944 as you watch the bouncing yak across the YouTube channel. Is it still bouncing? Can I grab it?
I want to hit this article from Reuters. Angela Merkel says refugees did not bring Islamic terrorism to Germany. Chancellor Angela Merkel said on Wednesday refugees had not brought terrorism to Germany, adding that Islam belonged in the country as long as it was practiced in a way that respected the Constitution. More than a million people fleeing war and poverty in the Middle East, Africa, and elsewhere arrived in Germany last year. The mood towards them has soured after a spate of attacks on civilians last month, including three carried out by migrants. Which obviously directly contradicts Angela Merkel saying. The phenomenon of Islamic terrorism, of ISIS, is not a phenomenon that came to us with the refugees, Merkel said in an election campaign event Christian Democrats in the eastern state ahead of a regional vote on September 4th.
Merkel is this shows not the intellectual stupidity or the stupidity of Merkel, but her belief that the people of Germany are gullible to the Islamic alien invasion of Muslim. See, this is being done in Germany, in France, all across Europe, by Soros, in my view anyway, by Soros and by the globalists in order to water down the European Union. And of course, the byproduct and perhaps even the objective of this is to create recreate the caliphate, which was declared nonetheless, by ISIS back in 2015. And we have Obama to thank for that. And don't forget, folks, December 2nd, 2015, Syed Rizan Farouk and his wife, they dropped off their baby at their mother's house, drove to Syed's place of work, the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino. There was a holiday Christmas party taken in progress. The two were dressed in tactical gear, both carrying handguns, modified rifles, illegally modified rifles, and they proceeded to shoot Christians. All right.
And just in the last 24 hours, you have police arrest a German man suspected of storing explosives. German police foiled jihadist terror attack at a festival after seizing explosives at a man's home. And you have attacks, as pointed out by the Reuters article and other news, of attacks in Germany directly related to the migrant crisis and ISIS.
Now look, in America, and we talked about this before, right at the end of 2015, there were 1,000 people under investigation for ties to ISIS. There were 900 open investigations of possible ISIS recruits and sympathizers being carried out in all 50 states in this country. That's what they're admitting to. Did you get those numbers? And according to the FBI report, 76 people were arrested for ISIS-related crimes in since March of 2014. 56 of them, the majority of them, were in 2015. 27% were involved in plots against the U.S. inside the U.S. Folks, understand, this is what Obama, Hillary, the people in power, the globalist oligarchy, moron, maggots, and I'm not sorry for my language or the terminology, descriptive terminology, this is what they are bringing into this country. And we have to stand up and say, no, we cannot allow this to happen. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report for our last segment coming up. Stay right where you're at. Of the Yak. Is it the year of the Yak? I don't know. No, can't be. The Yak is loose. We gotta get the Yak back. Now, to be serious, you're listening to the Hagman and the Hagman Report. The final segment here. You know, go back to April of this year, April 6th to be exact. ISIS supporters released a video in which they called for terror attacks to take place in London, Berlin, and Rome. It was reminiscent of the independent videos that appeared in the months after 9/11, which threatened attacks in the United States by Al-Qaeda. This new video, produced in English by a group calling itself the Al-Wa'ad Media Production, presented a message. If it was Paris yesterday, today in Brussels, Allah knows it will be tomorrow. Maybe it will be in London or Berlin or Rome. Notice that, or Rome. And, of course, there's other, they fight them, Allah will punish them by your hands, infidels, wherever you find them. That is the message. It's cool to be ISIS, according to some on Facebook and Twitter, because of the ninja-like garb. You know, is the threat for real in the United States? Absolutely. And where is it coming from? It's coming from the importation of young men who will never, ever, ever, ever assimilate into society, no matter how much the Democratic National Socialists in power want them to. And CNN article CNN did report that since declaring the caliphate, its caliphate in June 2014, of course, al-Baghdadi, the nom de plume of the leader, now supposedly room temperature. Terrorist attacks in 20 countries other than Iraq and Syria have taken place, and they're much deadlier than they've ever been before. They've killed over 1,200 people and 1,700 others. So we're looking at a Paris-style attack being planned here in the United States, and for many years the FBI and DHS have been worried about and warning us that the potential for so-called lone wolf, and that's a misnomer, terrorist attacks here in the United States, but the bottom line is this, it's orchestrated. Joe, you know that, and our audience is intelligent enough to know that. Hagman and Hagman on this final segment tonight in this broadcast.
Let's go to the phones. We got a number of callers in this last segment. We're going to have to do a quick round here. We got a
Hagman lightning round. Let's do it.
Jennifer in PA, you're up first. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Doug. It's Jennifer from Pittsburgh.
Jennifer,
how's it going?
Pittsburgh. How you doing?
Pretty good, actually. Well, I'd like to tell you guys that everything's perfect, and we know that that's not the case. But what I was hearing from a lot of the listeners and just your rebuttal, both you guys, and what we've been listening to is really what was already, we were already pretty prepared for this, like maybe a year ago. I remember when a lot of us were really just catching on to what we would be looking at going forward. Well, I believe now, after listening to Karen, we're right in it now. We kind of were preparing for whatever we were going to be in. So most of us know, like going over to Survival Wholesale, getting our stuff, getting our thing together, getting our reserves, just being prepared. And then now we are just, it's like a, we're occupied until he comes. With that said, and I'm not sure what you guys think about this, and I'm going to get off the phone, but wherever we're at, a lot of us are, I mean, some of us are pretty deathly ill. I just found out I have a lot going on that it's not good, okay? Not the news I was hoping to get from the doctor. So a lot of us are pretty sick in this. That's my big thing is, it's not that we're not aware of what's going on, it's how we can survive. I mean, many of us are not going to be, I can't work anymore now. I guess that's my concern is, what's your insight on this? Like, a lot of us are losing our jobs, we're on the brink of losing our homes, and you got all this evil, right? We're right at the apex of it, you know? We're at the tipping point, and many of us have already are too far. You know what I mean? I mean, America, mm-hmm. while it could be saved, how bad off are we going to be? I mean, some of us are in such bad health now, and I never thought at 45 I'd be saying this. But even if America can be saved, what kind of condition will America be in as far as people? And who's going to pick up the slack? Because if you got all these young people are so against, they're so Marxist, that are they going to pick up the slack? Because us older people, like over the 40, 50 plus, maybe the younger 30s that are just catching on, and some young people. But who's really going to pick up the slack to save the other side of, I mean, on the other side of it? I mean, if Trump, let's just say Trump wins and everything goes really well, and this, that would be a pure intervention of God. So yeah, I wanted to hear what your insight is. Like, what are we going to be like on the other side of this? You know, if America does.
But Jennifer, knowing you, and I know you, I know you're a strong young lady, and I say young relative good to me. But the fact is this, we cannot, and I don't care if you're a picture of health, none of us are going to get through this, whatever is coming, alone or without help. Joe, I mean, we can't do that. We're going to have to rely, if we don't have family, we're going to have to rely on neighbors, friends, fellow members of your church. But you, even at your illness, with whatever problems you might have, you might think, well, I can't really do much, but you can, even from a recliner. You know, you might be able to minister to people. You might be able to serve in some capacity. Don't sell yourself short, but we all have a position to play. God would not keep you. I don't believe God would keep you sucking air. If you didn't have a duty, a position, a role, you know, so,
yeah.
But none of us,
when I look, okay.
No, no. I mean, none of us are going to get through this without somebody else. Okay, so I just want to say that. But yeah. But go on, Jennifer.
I hear a lot of callers, and I hear a lot of this. They direct their concerns to that small little group of people that somehow might get the message. They're not going to get. I believe what we're seeing is that Hillary and many people that are being turned over to the reprobate mind, just like how King Nebuchadnezzar mm-hmm. was turned over.
Right.
And if any of those people, God spares, that's a different story. I believe right now this is really going to be a test of our faith. Are we loyal, true to the end, on our end? And we know that we're going to fall in some situations. So be prepared for that part of it. And that maybe that's the prophetic word, is that we might need to be really, really get this part of it, is that we know we're going to be put in a situation. We should be way ahead of that. We're way beyond politics in America. This is now, it's as much as it's on the surface it looks political. We're looking at the kind of people and the way they are dying, and we're looking at the murders, the obvious strangeness in that, and we're looking at all the other things, all these other fires burning out of control. So the condition of the world is obviously going to be bad, but on the other side, I mean, I see why many of us need to be praying, because if the best alternative for all of us is that while praying for all this, well, we might not get exactly the, what could possibly be the worst case scenario. We're probably not going to walk out unscathed completely. Got that part. So obviously a lot of us would, you know, if we're going to endure through the end, let's hope and pray. And I believe a lot of us are going to just be pulled really upright and right into, I mean, it'll be Psalm 91. Many of us are going to feel like we're going to fall apart, and then all of a sudden we're going to have this supernatural strength. That has to be it for me. I mean, otherwise, because I know, left to our own devices, I don't think many of us could be gone and that be it. You know, I believe that, but I believe if we're really going to be spared and we're living on borrowed time, like some of us already know, we're all on borrowed time, I'm sure, by this point.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, thank you.
But Jennifer, thank you. And we're going to be praying for you, your health. Thanks for the call. But yeah, you raise an interesting issue. I mean, the impaired, the elderly, the infirmed, where do you fit in all this? Well, you're part of this, an integral part of this, and don't lose hope, because you do have a role to play. Look at how many people in the concentration camps too. How sickly they were. Look at Bonhoeffer. What he did, his ministry in the camps, under the gun. Thank you,
Jennifer. Jeremy in Michigan, we're coming to you now.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Doug. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Good. Nice to talk to you again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I've just been thinking about what happened in Milwaukee, you know, and it just blows my mind because, you know, if we go over the facts here, it was an armed guy running away, you know,
right.
And he pointed his gun at the police and got killed. I mean,
but wait,
they an African American cop.
Yes, but they said, oh, he was an upstanding citizen. What do you have, 13 charges against him before this incident something?
Yeah, and he looked like an absolute thug in his photos. But it's just incredible to me that clearly, you know, somebody with a clear mind can look at that and see like what the truth of the situation is. They can put themselves in a police officer's shoes. They understand that, you know, what self-defense is. Like, there's a ground of reason that, you know, you can stand on and look at a situation from. And the fact that, you know, you see all this rioting and all this crazy stuff, it shows how unclear these people's minds are in a big way. A lot of people, not just you know, a certain group of people, I'm talking about just a lot of people in this time and age, like especially Clinton voters, you know, like it just doesn't make sense to me. You know what I'm saying? Like it just shows the state of the not only moral decay, really, because to me the answer is simple, you know. The things are simple, the things that I'm looking at, you know, the answers, especially, I mean, it probably helps that, you know, I follow Christ and I have a biblical foundation. But, I mean, how can we, I don't understand how people can vote and go, like, make rational decisions while, you know, they're rioting and destroying the streets, you know, I just don't know, I don't know what's going on,
yeah.
You know.
Well, it's going to continue to be crazy like this as the narrative is continue to be put up by the mainstream media that, you know, the cops were in the wrong and, you know, it's
and
all racism.
Joe,
and
he heard this from, you heard Officer Sean from Iowa explain, number one, his brush with death, and number two, the fact that prayers helped, and thirdly, not to interrupt you, but this is what it's all about. I mean, this is what it's come down to. The politicians, Officer Sean was saying too, don't give a whit. In fact, have declared war on our police officers, and it's wrong. It's wrong.
Yeah.
It's absolutely wrong.
It's part of an agenda, you know. It's part of an agenda of chaos, I think. I think it's, know, they're pinning whites against blacks, you know, racism against authority, you know, so police against citizens. you know, any type of division that can come in, obviously that's, you know, Satan's biggest tool. That's why we even have, like, borders and we have wars in the first place, is just division. That's why the body of Christ isn't unified like it should be, because the division, you know, it's clearly the biggest tool. And, I mean, it's really stirring up the pot now, you know. And then we're in a whole new world with social media, you know.
Yes,
that's a catalyst, you know. It just makes things happen faster and quicker. And I don't know, I just want to encourage all of us, you know, just to stay unified, stay plugged into the source, you know. And even
expose their wiles. You know, we're exposing their wiles. By exposing the wiles and becoming educated and informed, we can be inspired. And that, sir, is exactly your message I hear from you. And thank you. And, yeah, and thanks for your call. God bless you.
Thanks,
brother.
Jeremy.
There are 1,000 stories of vital importance, but the media ignores these thousands of stories of vital importance to give you the same drumbeat propaganda from channel to channel to dumb you down. But you listen to the Hagman and Hagman report, you're going to experience a riptide of diverse information from challenging thinkers who will shake, rattle, and roll your consciousness for the purpose of growth. And that's what it's all about. If you want to stay in the safety zone, then get a pair of diapers and sit in a cradle or a corner and, you know, and be a little kid the rest of your life. 2016, if you say you love your children, if you say you love God, then you're either in the game or not in the game. And to be in the game means you've got to actually get up, call on the power of God, use the mind of Christ, and then iron sharpens iron. You have to do whatever it takes to get your mind up to speed to be able to be effective.
That was Paul McGuire, a quick clip of Paul McGuire from his last appearance. He'll be our guest tomorrow evening. And he's got a special book giveaway that he's doing for the listener. So make sure you tune in tomorrow night as Paul McGuire will be joining us. Back to the phones. We got Don, Rachel, Elizabeth, and Jim. We're going to close out the show with these four calls. So we only got about 10 minutes left. So about a minute and a half a call. Don, we're coming to you first.
All right. I'll try to be quick. A couple of years ago is when I discovered alternative media. And at first I wasn't completely convinced about the coming persecution of Christians. I kind of saw a little bit of it, but I wasn't completely convinced. Then I heard one of your guests talking about the Bible code, and it really interested me. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to look into this, and I plugged my name into that Bible code, the software program, and it came back, and it said that me, with my name, would be on the run for my love of Jesus. Exactly.
Wow.
Just like that. And it scared me to death. Scared me to death.
You should strengthen that, though, in a way.
Well, you know, at first it just scared me to death. I tried to deny it because I said, well, this is America. How could this happen in America? But today, as I look around and I see the news and I see what's going on, I can see where that could be. That could be me and my family.
Could be
that
everyone.
We would have.
Every Christian.
Yeah. Right, that we would have to flee. But the good news is that because I started listening to your program, you and your guests have really lifted me up, have given me lots of information that when I first saw that, I was completely overwhelmed. I didn't even know what to do. I was like, how do I prepare for that? But today, a couple of years later, I feel ready. And I just want to let you guys know that, and thank you for lifting us up and for you and your guests helping to prepare us financially and physically and spiritually. You're making a big difference in our life.
I feel
like, all right, if that's where I have to go, if that's wherever the Lord wants to take me, all right, I'm ready. I have my go bag or
bug out
bag or whatever you want to call it. I have it ready to go. 2 years ago, I wasn't there. But today, I am, and a lot of it is due to your program and to all your wonderful guests.
Thank you, dear. Thank you so very much for the call. And thank you. And know that you're not in this alone. And know that you're part of our family of listeners. And know that we will always work to help you, your family, your friends, other people like you. It makes me feel good to hear. Thank you. You made my night.
Well, thank you. You make my night all the time. God bless you guys too. God bless. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Don. All right. Next week.
As we get this next caller on, we have the Yak Train. Okay. The Yak Train going for those people on. I feel like David Letterman. This shouldn't be like David Letterman. The Yak Train with Obama across the bottom of the screen. Compliments of Eric the Tech, the Yak, for those watching on YouTube. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Joe.
Rachel in California, we're coming to you. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Good evening, Joe and Dodd. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just want to follow through with what the previous caller said, Don.
Yes.
I want to thank you for creating this platform and for inviting the intellectual guests like Mr. Steve Quayle and Mr. Tom Horn and L.A. Marzulli and everybody else who have been contributing to educate the minds of the American people and create that awareness that, yes, this is America, yes, it's the greatest nation in the whole world, but because of the moral decline that's been happening for decades, among other things, it is possible that whatever agenda they have, they meaning the elite, is possible because I believe, this is just my personal take, that we are slowly, gradually losing the protection of God because many of us have turned our backs on Him. And we are just maybe not conscious about it, or because we are being deceived by the other side. But whatever it is, it's just possible it's going to happen. Now, what I noticed from the previous callers is that many of them have this nervousness in their voices, like this panic. What I can say is based on, again, the education that I have been picking up from your shows is that the only anchorage that we really have right now is Jesus Christ.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think more than anything else, of course, it's good that we care for food and water and things like that, the essential, physical essential. But more than anything else, I think each of us is going to be faced with just two options. It's either you're with God or you're against God. And so, with that said, the preparation that needs to be done by every individual, not just here in the United States, but in the whole world, is spiritual preparedness, because that's what's going to get us through this, whether
safe
or unscathed.
No, you're right. You are. There's nothing that I can add to that. I think you covered it.
Well, thank you so much.
Wow.
Thanks for the call, Rachel. You have a good night.
You're very welcome, and thank you so much again.
And you are the reason. I mean, you're why I say we have got the most enlightened audience in the world. So.
Yes, we do. We got Elizabeth and Jim. We got about 3 minutes left. Elizabeth, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
I'm calling about the scenario where Hillary is elected and then has a health crisis and can't be sworn in. At that point, we'd have a constitutional crisis. And she couldn't be sworn in, her vice president couldn't be sworn in because he's not actually anything at that point. Obama conceivably could stay in office if that happens, because his vice president can't take over because there's still a sitting president.
You know, I'm going to contact somebody from Hillsdale College tomorrow. I believe what you're saying is to be true. I don't know that to be
right.
But I'm going to contact Hillsdale College tomorrow. A professor of constitutional scholar there. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, is that? Do you have more to add? Because
no. The only thing I was going to say is Joe Farah wrote a column a few days ago on a similar topic, saying what happens if she's indicted, and it would be the same scenario. If for some reason she can't be sworn in, it doesn't matter whether it's a health crisis or it's an indictment or anything like that. I'm not a constitutional scholar by any means.
Wow.
So.
I mean, I'm a lawyer,
but not a constitutional scholar.
Oh.
But there's nothing in the Constitution about it, and to my knowledge, there are no cases because the situation's never arisen before. So
yeah, I don't think
it has.
It's
a real crisis.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But I'd like to hear what he has to say if you contact him.
Yeah, I'm going to contact Hillsdale College, and because they had online constitutional courses, I don't believe, and I took that course, and I don't remember ever seeing a situation like this.
No, there hasn't been one, not to my knowledge.
Okay.
And so conceivably he could hang on and stay. A frightening thought.
And you're an attorney, practicing attorney. Okay. Wow. Thank you for listening to our program.
Yeah.
Thank you for your input.
Sure.
No, I'm not sure you've made me feel
yeah.
I'm not sure you made me feel good, but thank you.
Just hang up and have nightmares tonight, right?
Yeah, really. Really. But God bless. Thank you. That's very interesting. A very interesting I can't wait. God bless.
Thanks for the call, Elizabeth. Have a good night.
Sure.
Wow.
We got one caller left in just a few short minutes.
Take us out, Jim.
You're live.
Hey, hello, y'all. Quiet guy,
hey.
Jim Collin.
Yeah.
I had a quick question and prayer request. A couple of weeks ago or so, I listened to all these programs on my flip phone, and Russ Dizdar mentioned something about a conference in Bozeman in October. And I didn't find it on it. And I just wondered if you guys knew anything about it.
Boy, we didn't get that memo. I talked to Russ here a short time ago, or not today, but a couple of days ago, and I talked to Steve yesterday, or this morning. I can't remember. I would know about it.
I figured you would.
Oh, yeah. And unless, was it a rerun? Because when were we? No, that was in April we were at.
I don't think it was a rerun. It was just a few weeks ago. It wasn't that long ago that he said it. But, yeah, I listened to, it's just whatever's in the queue.
Okay.
On the daily broadcast I get here on my flip phone.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I don't know anything about that.
Check it out.
If Russ and Steve are planning a conference, what we're going to try to do, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to try to talk both of them into getting out of Bozeman so they can go to someplace easier to get to where you don't have to rent a burrow to get there.
I thought Bozeman was cool. That's the first time I left here in years, and the only reason I could think of to leave here is to go to another conference up there. That was pretty cool.
What city do you live in?
It was nice up there.
It was. But what city do you live in?
I'm in Kauai. I'm in Kauai. Kauai guy.
Yeah, Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii.
You don't remember?
Oh.
I met you in Bozeman. I met you guys in Bozeman.
My synapses are misfiring like Hillary Clinton. I'm short-circuiting. I'm sorry.
No, I met you guys in Bozeman. Anyway.
Yes, you did.
And I'd like to make a prayer request for, you remember in Bozeman that gal that hitchhiked to the conference?
Yeah. Yes,
I
do.
I've been close contact with her all the time, and she just left this morning on a bus from Massachusetts down to Branson. And with no... Yeah, pray for God's provision for her, a place to stay, and to meet all of her needs for Sharon.
Is she going to the revival?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she just got on a bus from Massachusetts today, and
okay,
no credit card, rent a car, or room, or stuff like that. But Yeah, she got a little cash, but anyway,
You going to be in contact with her, sir? You going to be in contact with her?
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'd like to check on her status. So if she can send me an email as to or her status, I'd like to check on her.
I don't know if she's going to be able to go online. I guess I'll send you an email with her number if you want.
Do that, brother. Do that.
Thanks, John.
We're out of time.
We
got to
cut you loose. Have a good night.
We're woefully out of time. God bless.
Wow. We'll be back tomorrow with Paul McGuire. And don't forget Jim Mars on Friday.
Jim Mars.
First time guest.
Buckle in there.
Paul McGuire tomorrow night and a book giveaway.
Yes. Stay safe. Good night.